March 3rd, 2010. And I have to tell you, I'm a little depressed today because I was on TV yesterday. And before I went on, I was thinking, Animal, this could be your big break. National TV in the USA. Maybe I'll be one of those Canadians like Mike Myers or Martin Short or John Candy who make it big south of the border. I was waiting there to go on. I could see myself on Letterman. It's plain as day. But I have to admit, it did not go very well at all. First, I had to listen to two other people get interviewed before me. And did you know you can get a job testing cheese that has to be aged in a cave? Well, I didn't, but now I do, and so do you. And I also know that you need a job that fills you with passion if you're going to make big money, because that's what the other guest said. Then finally, they got to little old me. He calls himself the recruiting animal, said the host, and he's going to tell us how to be popular on Twitter. So I get on the air, and what's the first thing she asked me? What does popular mean? I said, huh? What does popular mean? What does she think I am, a dictionary? Here's a trick. Here's a trick. If you want to screw someone up, ask them to define some everyday word. Nobody can do it because you never have to. Everybody already knows what you mean except her. Imagine you go on a show on Valentine's Day, and the host starts asking you, what does love mean? I'd say, who do you think I am, Socrates? I want to give a girl a box of chocolates. Don't you understand what that means? Anyway, eventually, I think I told her, look, honey, this is a show about job hunters, isn't it? So we're talking about how many people you know online who can help you. That's what popular means. You know, it's not a bad answer, but trust me, it took a while to get it out. And after that, it was downhill all the way. At least for me, that's what it felt like. And then before you know it, I was off the air. And I said to myself, hey, was it so exciting I didn't realize how much time was passing? Or did that cheese lady get a lot more airtime than me? And did that passion lady get a lot more airtime than me? And yes, they did. And you know what? I had so much to share. Yes, it's true. But I walked away thinking, Animal, is that all there is? Because you're not 20 years old anymore, pal. If you blowing your only shot at stardom, it could be. It could be. But maybe not. Only one man knows what the future holds, and that's today's guest, Timmy Tyrell Smith. He knows I was criticized last week for being too soft on Chris Havrilla. She was my guest last week, and he knows that now he's going to pay. And he knows that I'm extra bitter because of what happened yesterday. And you know where you pay the price, Jerry? What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Thank you, Jerry. I guess it's a little hard to follow what I'm saying when you're driving down the highway. I didn't think he'd make it, but he showed up in the end.
I always make
okay,
it.
Okay, Jerry.
I'm at my client, and I'm going to head in there and take a look around and talk to them about hiring some people.
Okay, no Hope after show. Do you want to give them a grade before the show starts?
What do you do?
See you, Jerry. He's a job hunter coach, something like that. Yeah, go on. Eat it. No point. Tim Tyrell Smith, are you there? Goodbye, Jerry. Beat it.
I'm here, Animal. I'm here.
Tim, nice to have you. Nice to have you. Let me ask you, Tim. What's it like to go through life with a name like Tim and a baby face like yours?
You know what? Many years from now, you're going to be sorry that I have this baby face because I'm going to look really, really good.
Yeah. Look, I already look old, Tim. You can't hurt me. Timmy is a boy's name. And you, you know, when you think of Timmy, what do you think of? That guy on Lassie or Tiny Tim? And you got this kid's face. And you know what? but oh, come on, it's my show. You said on LinkedIn that you've got 20 years of business experience, so like you're in your 40s, but you look like, I don't know, you're a kid. I don't know how anyone could have any respect for you. That's the issue. Let me ask you that. Do you get respect, or do people say, hey, Sonny, where's the boss?
Can I tell you that people love me?
Okay. Yeah.
How
you
long
have, some
have
proof?
They been loving him? How old?
I'm not talking about your kids. I'm not talking about your kids. You have
hey,
any proof?
You know what? Can I tell you, though, that my grandmother is the only person I've let call me Timmy in a long time. So I think you're in pretty good company.
Ooh. Hey, you want to hang up now? Go away. Beat it. I don't care. I got a show full of people here. You want to be
all
called
right,
Timmy or
let's
you don't? It's up to you. Okay, let me open up a few more lines. Okay, some people said they're coming just for you. You know what, Tim? Let's start off this way. Give me your elevator speech.
Sure. I am Tim Terrell Smith. I'm a 22-year consumer packaged goods marketing expert and a brand builder, and I do all sorts of wonderful things on the business side. In my part-time from 5 in the morning till 7, from 10 to midnight or later, I write a blog and a website called Tim's Strategy, and it is a free place for job seekers to go to learn how to do it right. I have free tools, free downloads. I've written 2 e-books, and all that stuff is available free of charge to the job seeker, and I do it because I love it, and it feels good.
And what's the – oh, sorry. I thought it was over already. What's the URL?
Timsstrategy.com, TimsStrategy.com.
Yeah, I always find those double consonants very tricky. But, you know, better
yeah,
put them in than leave
way.
Them out like Korealism. Okay. Now, let me ask you. What's with the 3 names? You know what I thought of when I saw your name?
I thought,
this guy's a product of the Tyrell Corporation, you know, like in Blade Runner. Did you see that? They make the replicants.
I did.
And some of them, they didn't want to be terminated, so Harrison Ford had to do it for them.
Yeah, I get a couple of reactions. Some people think I use my middle name and I'm a pompous you-know-what. But most people ask me the question, and it's a great conversation starter, and the answer is that 3 generations ago, back in South Africa, where my family was at the time, the first name of my ancestor was Terrell, and his last name was Smith, and he lived in an area where the Smith last name was really common, and he became Terrell Smith, so that wouldn't be a problem anymore. So this name's been in the family for about 3 generations.
Time to change it back, okay? Just take a Terrell. Who would have ever known that? Hey, listen, let's put it to a vote. Just yays and nays. Did anybody guess? Who guessed that it was pronounced Terrell? There's your answer, buddy. It's not a good name. Okay, let me see. Let me ask you something, Tim. Let me ask you. You say on your site, Tim Terrell Smith. Now I'm saying it right, worked full-time as a marketing exec and a part-time as a blogger, creator, and idea generator. Like, what does it mean that you work part-time as a blogger? You know, are you getting paid for that, or, you know, would you call it work if it's just a hobby?
I don't get paid for it. I've never gotten paid for it. And I think it is work some nights when you're up late. You know, maybe you'd rather be doing something else, but I just
I think it's misleading. That's the point, okay? Okay, now let's look at your website. If anybody wants to go there, if you're at your computer, it's Tim's Strategy. Tim's Strategy, no apostrophe, but it's the possessive, Tim's Strategy. Okay, now you did something that I hate, okay? You said you're talking about yourself, and he said he discovered a passion for helping others after a 2007 job search, and there's no stopping him now. Like, we know you wrote it yourself. What is the point of talking about yourself in the third person? For me, it's a huge negative.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I can't remember if it was a Bill Vicks interview or the one with Neil Schaefer, but I heard you ranting on that. And I think it just depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes sense to talk about it in first person. Other times I go to third, but I agree with you. I think generally first person is a better way to go.
Yeah, it is. So when are you going to change it?
I'll do that today.
Good for you. Hey, everybody, give him a round of applause or, you know, cheers
go.
Or something like that.
Cheers.
Okay, you know, I would change it as well. I would say I have a passion for showing off how much I know and making people do what I want. It's a
I
little more
not
sincere
use that
than
word, passion.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't use it. Yeah, well, look, I have a prejudice. I find any talk about passion sounds just insincere because it's so extreme. It's like calling yourself a visionary, right? Like, I'm Moses. Now, I'm a... Who's passionate? What's that silent
movie
guy? Can we
have a shout
guy?
Out for passion?
You know? Okay, go ahead, Rayanne. You talk. Go ahead. Was that Rayanne talking about passion?
Yeah, it was just
What is it, Valentine's Day?
Reaching out for passion, you know.
reaching out.
Somebody want to talk to Tim? Oh, you know, to Resume Strategies was hoping that I'd give him a chance to talk. I'll give someone else a chance. Someone want to say something to Tim? What?
I do.
Who's that?
Janice.
And your son disappeared just before the show, but he let me know.
Okay.
Go ahead, Janice.
Is this the time to be passionate, or is this the time to survive?
Well, I think
yeah, it's a good question, but we're not going to answer that question.
Okay.
Let's save that one, okay, Janice? I'm glad you brought that question forward.
I didn't
Thank
hear the end
so
of that question.
Much.
I didn't
that
hear
was
the
it.
End.
Is
no.
this a time to be passionate?
Okay. Is it better to be passionate, or is it a time to survive? Is it time for passion or a time for survival? You know what? I'll just say something. Steve Rothberg, who criticized my first show mercilessly, and I put it out. You can see if you go click About the Animal, he's up there near the top. He said today on collegerecruiter.com that Gen Y guys are still getting multiple job offers. So let me ask Tim that. Tim, is the world still an oyster for Gen Y in terms of the jobs?
You know, I can't call myself a Gen Y expert, but it seems to me they go into job search a different way. They don't get desperate. They don't get upset about things. They go in real open. They can be themselves. They can relax. And I think that's what people want to see when you interview somebody. You want to get to know the real person. I think some of us who've been in our career a little bit longer, we get a little tense, and we don't act ourselves in front of other people, especially people who have the power.
Oh, but those younger people are more relaxed in an interview. Is that what you're saying? That they're not nervous like ordinary people?
And they're cheaper,
and they're living with mommy.
And they're cheaper, yeah. I think they have less to lose.
You're saying that they're more. Are you saying they're more relaxed? No, I want to get have
yes,
to make a clear
yes.
statement, not just. Really, does anyone actually believe that there's a group of people more relaxed than other people?
Nope.
I don't believe you for a second.
They just
don't
have the responsibilities yet that other people have. That
exactly.
goes along with
Anybody else
want to
comment on that? Do you believe that people under 30 are just, you know, more relaxed in an interview than someone else? Anybody want to comment?
Besides who did?
I don't believe that at all.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Thanks, Janice. Thank you. Okay. And she meets a lot of people, Tim. You're being defeated, okay?
That's all
now,
right.
Now, look, Tim, I got another complaint about your website, and this is important because you're telling people how to present themselves. Your website does not fit on my screen. Anybody else, go there. Go to timstrategy.com. I think it's made for those wider screens. I have a 19-inch screen, but, you know, I can't see the edges. Tim, do you have that problem? Pardon me, Tim?
If it's perfect on my MacBook, so I don't know what's the problem with your computer.
Yeah, well, you got to think about other people as well, right? You're talking so much, and we're going to get into about being selfless. You're not thinking about me. You're just thinking about you, okay?
Here's what I want
to
know.
Think about.
Tim, do you own Tim Strategy without two S's in the middle, too?
I do.
Good.
There. That's a point for him. Now, listen, Tim, I was on your website, and there's no clear links based with icons to your Twitter page and your LinkedIn page. Can you account for that?
Have you looked at the top of my page?
I did. Oh, you've got those little icons. Is that it?
That would be it.
Okay.
Well, you're
Thanks.
A tough taskmaster today, Animal.
You are.
I told you I was
going
to be last week.
What's
they,
going
you know, they
on
said
with
I was
you?
Too nice to Chris.
Okay, so you're
I was too
nice to Chris. I liked it.
I was too nice to Chris. I didn't think I was too nice to Chris, but everybody said. I'm giving everybody else opportunities to ask questions, but I'll only let them answer if I find them interesting. Okay, who said no, I'm not?
Me? No, you're not.
Maureen?
You're writing
somebody
over.
Somebody
asked
a question.
You're intercepting.
No,
you're,
I didn't.
You're editing.
I didn't say I'd give them a chance.
As you go along.
I did. Yeah, well, that's this show. You want to go somewhere else? I hear
no.
they've got a few others on, okay? Okay, Tim. Still with me, Tim?
My
Tim,
way,
we're getting
my
good
way,
stuff
animal.
Now. Give him a chance, will you, Maureen? Okay. Tim, are you with me?
I'm here.
Okay. I was looking at your LinkedIn page. You're quite the job hopper, aren't you?
No, not at all.
Ouch.
Not
yes,
at all.
You are. You're a three-year man. You're a three-year man.
If you look at the average, 18 to 24 months is the average. I like change. I like new I like new challenges. And so, yeah, go and look
for
this.
Gen Wires. Yeah,
I just want everybody to know he's been in his current job as a VP of marketing since December 2007, okay?
Oh, okay.
So he's got, you know, he's got 2008 and 2009 there, 2 years. It says 2 years, 4 months. Okay, then he was a director of marketing before that for 2 years and 7 months, right? Close to 3 years. Then before that, he was a director of marketing for 2 years and 3 months. Then he was a director of his next job down was 3 years. The next job down was 3 years. His first job, at Nestle's, he was there 7 years. But since then, he's a three-year man. Is that a good time amount of time to stay? Because if I looked at your resume, I'd say he's got 3 years in him. That's it.
I have a question.
That's no, let him answer my question.
You know, I don't think it's that uncommon. I don't think it's that uncommon now, and I look at a lot of resumes, both as a hiring manager and
come on,
as a
be bold, Tim.
Reviewer.
Now's your time to fight back. Fight back, Tim.
Let
Why is it good
there.
To stay 3 years?
Don't be coward.
Because I think that you can make a huge impact in 3 years. Beyond 3 to 5 years, I think you stop making a big impact. That's my experience.
That is so wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong. Would you consider, when you look at, if you looked at a resume like yours, a resume like yours, would you consider yourself a job hopper if you looked at it objectively?
No. When I see job hopper, I look at 1 to 2 years. That's it. Because especially less than one, and I do see a lot of resumes with people with less than one, two or three jobs in a row, and that to me screams that there might be an issue or something.
Tim, let's ask the question a different way. Tim, if you were hiring somebody, would you want that they're only going to stay in their position for 2.5 years and then leave?
No, I don't think
that's ideal.
Would you
want to hire that person?
I don't think you can make that assumption about somebody just based on...
Let's just say you knew that they were going to leave in 2 to 3 years. Let's not assume, or let's just say that you knew that they were going to leave.
Yeah.
Would you want to hire them?
I also think it depends on what you're hiring them for. I mean,
yes or no question. Would you want to hire someone who's going to leave in 2 to 3 years?
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Can't promote them. They've been around long enough.
Mm-hmm.
But just if you look at my resume, you'll see that I've been with private equity-owned companies, and both of the companies prior to this one have sold. So there's natural progression, and I've always been able to talk to people about that, and they've understood that.
Conversation.
Can I ask a question?
You managed to get hired. I'm on his...
He has two director positions in a row. I'm just curious about why the lateral move rather than... He went from... something to director to director to VP. I'm just curious why the lateral move in those two places.
I moved from one portfolio company to another with the same private equity firm. Doing the same job.
Kept the same title.
Yeah.
You know what, Tim? You don't sound happy. Are you having fun?
No, I am having fun, but I'd rather talk about how we help job seekers and spend time on me, because it's
not what?
About me.
What? You're a job seeker. You're a professional job seeker. That's the point I'm making. You got to know a lot about it because you're always looking. Now, Maureen, I got to criticize you, okay? There's people sending me messages on Twitter. You're supposed to be reading them to me, okay?
Oh, God. Okay, I got to go to my desk. All right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Stop with the dishes.
I'll do that now.
You kind of brought up a point there. Tim, are you constantly looking for a new job?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm constantly open, like most job seekers are today, and I think with this new economy, we all have to have our eyes open all the time.
Hey, Tim, can I ask you a question? The blog that you've put up, I mean, it takes a lot of work to continually have good content and everything else, and you said you love it at the beginning of the show. I mean, this isn't your job. So I'm curious as to what's driving you to spend so much time on providing all this information to job seekers. What drove you to do this blog in the first place?
Oh, what are you, a setup?
Just doing your job for you. Okay,
I'm asking.
Sorry.
Come on. Okay,
hey,
Tim. I want to hear
that.
Put that to the
side. Let me answer that one.
No, I don't want. I want to ask you, what are the three most important lessons you learned from all your moves?
Don't listen to these people talk.
From all my moves, I think
you
need to find.
You made a lot of moves.
You need to find a position that utilizes your natural talents. We all can do a lot of things, but in order to find a job that you're really going to be successful in, you have to find a job that allows you to use the things you love to use. For example, I can do finance, I can do marketing, I can do strategy, and of those things, there are some that I just absolutely love to utilize. There are others that I can do really well, but it's not my favorite. So for me to be able to find a job where I can use my best strengths, which are idea generation, strategy, marketing, that's the job I want.
Is
okay, so that's number one. Okay,
on is love
that's number one?
Word.
What are the other two important lessons?
Really help me develop.
Let's see. What are the other two important lessons?
Tim.
Being in a company that's doing great things versus a company that's just kind of sitting there, and a company that's going to allow you to make change happen. You get into a company sometimes and they don't want to change. They just want to kind of keep doing what they're doing. And I always love to be in companies that will allow me to have a big impact and make change happen.
Okay, so these sound like tips. These sound like tips for an executive who's got in a decision-making position, not for a flunky. Is that right?
No, I don't think so. I think anybody at any level can have an impact on a company if they'll let you, if they'll give you a chance to play a bigger role.
Okay, well, it doesn't sound like that to me. What's number three? And then I'm going to, you know, I'm getting reports from Resume Strategy. Thank you. She says that this show's boring because I'm going through your resume. Let's find another show where they review someone's resume, where they have the guts to do that. Come on, Resume Strategy. You won't find that anywhere. What's your third tip or what's your third lesson that you've learned? Okay, Tim.
Third lesson that I've learned. You know, I don't have a third one that comes to me right now, to be honest with you. I think those are
you're a career coach, and you don't have a third lesson from your many moves? Listen, I got a question
coach.
For you.
I'm not a career coach. I refer people to career coaches, but I spend time helping people because it feels good.
Okay, now you've worked at two companies with Spanish names. You speak Spanish?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Come on, let's talk about networking. That's the show topic,
no, I want to know, do you know the song Spanish is the Loving Tongue?
No. No
okay.
clue.
Did we sing yet?
Okay. No. Listen, we're not. He doesn't want to sing. But hold on a sec. Hold on, Tim. Tim, this relates just to what you said. I read an article this morning. I want to know from you: is it better to work for a big company or a small company? Because you work for both. I'm going to read something I just saw before the show. It said America is made up of small businesses, and they have distinct advantages over large companies, which have shown recently to be a very bad employment choice. Get that noise off there! It says, complacency is a natural part of the evolutionary cycle of most large businesses. That's what you said. People get fat and happy, and there's no longer any drive to move forward. And that's why so many have failed recently. It just took a downturn in the economy to put the final nail in the coffin. Do you agree with that, Tim?
I agree that big companies are less nimble, they take less risks, and they're less fun to work for, yes.
Thank you, sweetie.
Who is that?
Okay, but you grew up a – who's doing that? Who's doing that? Stop it. Who's got that noise going there?
I think it's Janet.
Okay, sorry, Tim. I don't know who it is,
no,
but they're driving me crazy. Okay, look, so Tim – you got an English degree. Has that been making you money?
No, not at all. Not at all. But
okay.
I think it contributes
you went
to
back
the ability to be great in my job. So.
Really? How?
Communication,
writing,
speaking,
writing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How?
It
Who's
writing.
Doing that, please, you idiot? Stop that noise. I'm going to have to cut everybody off. I don't know what to do with these people who open their speaker phones and put all kinds of noise into the radio. Have some respect. Is that person Gen Y?
I'm sure.
Okay, Tim, are you still there? Now,
I'm
Tim,
here,
you know what? When I work sometimes on contract for the classier recruiting firms and I say, look, this guy I've brought you, this candidate, has an MBA, they say, where did he get it? Now, I see you went back and you got what I assume is an executive MBA from St. Mary's College in California. Is that a classy school? Did that win anything for you, that MBA?
It is an excellent school, but the stature of the school isn't why I went there. My goal wasn't to be USC, Yale, any of that. My goal was to go back, get new knowledge, and apply it at work. So that's why I did a part-time MBA.
How long ago did you
And was
that?
It worthwhile?
It was absolutely
Is it worthwhile
well.
To get
no,
an MBA?
Yes.
What did you get out of it? I always want to know, what do people get out of going and getting an MBA?
Well, you just said it, Animal. I'm an English major. I had a marketing minor. But sometimes, especially in marketing and line product management, you need to have better chops as it relates to finance and strategy, and that's what I went back for.
See, I was always under the impression that people went back to get an MBA just to put it on their resume and to network with other executives.
Some people do.
Not you.
Not me. That wasn't my purpose.
Has there been any networking benefits from getting – go ahead, Rayanne. If you have to interrupt me, I'll let you. Go ahead.
I wasn't interrupting. You interrupted me. How long ago did you get that done?
1996.
Okay.
Right before my first summer.
I interrupted her.
You did.
Okay.
I started
now,
first.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
it is.
Okay, great.
Ron.
Good, Rayanne. Thank you. Thanks. That was important. I want to finish with this MBA thing, okay? Would you advise – now, have you had any networking benefits from your MBA?
Minor. I think the best networking benefits come when you're still in the city in which you got your MBA because you obviously have a lot more grads hanging around. Some universities have big, huge crowds in lots of cities. You can take advantage of that through networking groups, also on LinkedIn. It's been okay. It hasn't been great.
Okay, but you're happy you did it, right? Now, before
Absolutely.
That, you were in an internship with Pepsi, right?
You're going way back.
When I say, yeah, okay, you were an intern. Now, was it slave labor or did you get paid?
I got paid at Pepsi. I actually did the Pepsi Challenge for a full summer. It was really
wow.
a lot of fun. So
did you learn anything?
Pepsi. Yeah, I learned something. I learned about hard work. I was on the special events team as well as doing some basic marketing, PR, things like that. So I learned what it felt like to be involved in an organization. And a lot of people coming right out of school don't know what it's like to just be a part of an organization, how to communicate with people. So it gave me that, but it also gave me the ability to talk about that work experience when I had my first interview.
Okay, so do you advise internships? That's a question. You're supposed to pick up on that kind of stuff, okay?
Oh, sorry. Yes, internships are essential. I think they show a real sense of knowing that you need to have some work experience before you get out there. I think it's crucial.
You see, here's my theory, Tim, and everybody listening out there. The guy's had a lot of personal experience. Why shouldn't I ask him about those questions first? The job hunting, the career issues based on his own life instead of his theories. We'll get to the theories. Everybody's got theories. I want to know the reality. Okay. Anybody else want to ask him a question?
I think the advice you give is based on the judgment you've made on your own life. I agree with you.
Oh.
I don't
okay.
need
a
left
powder in the car. Is
that Levy?
You know, I think that's – who's that?
That's Levy.
I don't know. Anyway, Janice, do you have something else or anybody else want to ask him something?
Do you coach clients or do you have a full-time job?
I work full-time, and I do meet with job seekers early morning and evenings. But it's
do they
more
pay you?
They do not.
Good for you. Good for you. Your blog, your material is good on your blog.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Does somebody else have a question for him?
I have a question about working for smaller companies. A
okay.
couple questions.
Yeah.
One, how do you find smaller companies to work for? And two, do you find that nepotism exists within smaller companies? And when you find it, how do you deal with that?
The first question is that I find smaller companies really, really great to work in because you have the opportunity to make a big impact. When I was at Nestle, at the time, like a $50 billion company, I could do something great and no one would even notice. You get into a smaller company and you have the opportunity to make really, really cool things happen and everybody notices. So
that wasn't the intent of the question, was it?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Can you ask it again?
How do you find them to work for in the first place? Not how do you find them. Yeah, how do you discover them? Is that the question?
Yes.
That's a good question.
I think that small companies are a little bit harder to work for because a lot of people that work at small companies don't have the experience and the training that others do from big companies. So they don't know process. They don't know procedures and how to do things right. And so that's one of the things that I've done going into small companies is providing that process. A lot of small companies are idea companies. They love to do great things, but they don't think about it, and they make mistakes.
Oh, I think you're contradicting yourself. You just said that small companies don't have people prepared with vision, and then you said that you go to work for small companies and you do. Why can't anybody else be prepared with vision and working for a small company?
No, I'm saying that's in my experience. That's what most smaller companies lack is that ability to think through process and strategy. They tend to be more impulsive. And so what I said is that when I go into companies, that's one of the values that I tend to provide.
Generalizations. That's okay.
So you provide influence and discipline.
Let me just get in there. He said on his LinkedIn, he said, I started my career with one of the great marketing boot camps in brand and product management, Carnation Company. Since leaving, I have applied this experience and skill at a number of smaller, more nimble companies. Tim, is that what you're saying here, that you got your basic strategy, your strategic point of view at Carnation, and you've carried that to the smaller companies?
That's exactly right. I apologize if I was a little general there, but that's exactly right.
Okay,
so
and
how
if,
do you
should
find
somebody
small
go
company?
To a big wait a second. Should somebody go to a big company first then and then, you know, have them, you know, give them a sort of university education and business that they can take to these disorganized little companies?
That model worked incredibly well for me. And as I go through and I interview with small companies, they love the fact that I've been at a big place but they love even more that I've been at a small place more recently because they know that I can fit in and that I know how to kind of work into a smaller company versus just having expectations of having six secretaries and all this stuff that some big companies offer.
Okay, but is it a combination of, you know, a structured, disciplined organization, and then once you've got that internal discipline, you can go someplace that's less structured? If you start someplace without any structure, maybe you're just going to be a slob. Is that the case? Like, this is what we're trying to clear up.
Yeah, not a slob, but I don't think you have the discipline and the process that small companies need to succeed.
Okay. I can't tell you how much flack I'm taking on Twitter, and I think I'm asking you good questions. I will fight anybody on this one. Do you want to say something that I haven't given you a chance to say? I'll get to your other stuff.
Well, let him tell us how to define them, how to find smaller companies.
They're hard to find, like
Hoover's.
You're saying how to find information on them or how to find
how to find them?
How
to
find
smaller companies
to
work for.
Yeah.
It's networking. It's being out in the community. It's being out in the community. It's going to networking events, industry events. It's being on LinkedIn groups in your industry. It's asking good questions. All of that stuff is the way to do it.
Do you use the answer section on LinkedIn?
I used to. I find, unfortunately, that answer section has become a little corrupted as of late.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people ask fake questions to try and steer people to their blog.
Okay, listen, you're a marketing guy, right? And you say that your focus is classic brand turnaround opportunities and brand revitalization. You say you believe in a fix, build, and drive strategy, which includes early attention on removing impediments to growth and then focus on high-impact growth opportunities. I'm wondering if you bring this marketing strategy to job hunting because it's really supposedly a marketing venture. Do you take your marketing ideas into the job hunting world?
You know, I think I'm influenced by them. You're saying, do I take the stuff I do on the blog and bring it into my day job?
No, I'm saying, do you take your day job and bring it into the blog? Like this turnaround, you take someone who's, you know, doesn't know how to write a resume, doesn't know how to present themselves publicly, you see what's wrong, and you fix, build, and drive strategy.
You know, I don't do that overtly.
Isn't it the same thing?
You're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. And that's a lot of the people that I meet with are people that are stuck, people who are in a bad way psychologically as well as with their resume, with the way they pitch themselves. And so, yes, I work with some of those hard cases to the extent I can, and then I pass them on to great career coaches that I know.
You know, I just want to ask if Resume Strategy had the guts to call in the show. Instead of just criticizing me on Twitter, ask a question. I'm open. Maureen, are you reading these things? There's so many messages. I don't want you to type. I want you to funnel it back to me. I can't read the screen while I'm talking to this guy, okay?
Take the fun
don't
out
you
of
understand?
Living. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Tim, I got to ask you something. You said in decision-making, you lean toward fast, pragmatic decision-making. What does that mean?
It means you don't spend hours and hours combing through data. You look at the right, appropriate data, and you make a good decision.
Now, how does a job hunter use that?
Well, a job hunter uses that by not spending hours and hours on the Internet. While I like for people to come to the blog, I don't suggest they spend a lot of time on blogs. I think they need to spend more and more time out in the real world with real people connecting. So the answer is that they spend too much time on Monster. They spend too much time on other sites like that where really you're supposed to get in, do good work for a quick amount of time, and then get out.
I'm working on getting a router online.
Hey, you shut up!
What's
not
a good,
you, Tim,
what's a good amount
guy
of time?
In the background.
What's a good amount of time to spend?
You know, I'd spend 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening max.
Okay, yeah, but you all also say you give them exercises that take an hour long. But listen, I got some just before we came on the show. Somebody named Laura Bay posted this on Twitter. She said an agency recruiter who wants my business left me a voicemail that said, "Hey, heavy breather, get off the phone." She didn't say that. She said the voicemail said, "Yo, yo, yo, what's up, LB?" Those are his initials. Now, is it bad for a job hunter to be a little kooky like that? I'm really looking here for your philosophy on voicemail.
Yeah, my philosophy on voicemail is you have to present yourself the way you'd want to be seen by someone brand new. I mean, first impressions are critical. You need to be professional. You need to get your request out as quickly and as succinctly as you can because most of
us recruiters... Example, no generalities. Example.
Example. Hi, this is Tim. I saw the posting you have on so-and-so. I'd love to have a chance to talk to you about it. Please give me a call back. Here's my number. Here's when I'll try and call you back. Done.
Question. A, no last name.
Go ahead.
B, no summary of what you've got.
Okay, he asked for an example. Okay, so...
Well, that's my comment.
Hey,
on
heavy breather. Back. Move away from the phone.
You didn't even leave your last name.
Okay, Tim, do you believe...
There's a good question coming
in.
Do you want to hear it? From Lou Bonica.
Yeah, I want to hear it. Give...
Lou Bonica
wants
to know of Tim. He wants to know of Tim. He says, words like house payment might be more important in a survival mode of this economy. He's criticizing your words like love, fun, from your website.
Okay, forget that. Thanks, but no thanks,
question.
Lou. Hold on. I don't like it. Listen,
sorry, Lou.
Tim, are you still there? Tim.
I'm here.
Tim, are you there?
I'm here.
One of my candidates who I just recruited yesterday, I don't usually like admitting that he's on LinkedIn. He's on LinkedIn, and there's a picture of him holding a dead buck by its horns. Is that good or bad?
Very Starman-ish.
Bad.
Yeah, why?
Well, because
he lives in Wisconsin.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. What I want to see, I want to look into that guy's eyes and say I'd like to network with that guy. So I want him looking professional. I want him smiling. I want him looking approachable and ready to go.
Yeah, but what if you like guns
you
and you're a hunter?
Well, then go on Facebook and put that picture up.
Yeah,
I think it's controversial.
Okay.
I wouldn't put it up either.
It's very controversial.
Now, it's no good if you're going to get hired by a vegetarian, that's for sure. But, Tim, you've got like a kind of a fetish about looking people in the eye. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you do right about that. That's exactly right.
Because you talk about it all the time. Look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. You want to talk about it? I'm giving you an opportunity.
Thank you for that softball. Yes, I go to a lot of networking events and in-group presentations where people are standing up and giving their elevator pitch. One of my big pet peeves is when people look only at one person the entire time, because the goal of an elevator speech is to get somebody to want to spend time with you afterwards. So you have to look everybody in the eye and make a connection with people, because that's what works.
Okay, so should you it's hard if you're not used to it, looking people in the eye. Should you, heavy breather, it's the last time I'm going to tell you, get off the phone, okay?
What are you going to do about it?
Now,
how are you going to find out who that is?
Now? I'll find out who
it is. Don't make idle
No,
threats.
Look for Tim, you know, what are you supposed to force when you're nervous? You're not used to, the fear comes upon you. You don't want to be nervous. What are you supposed to force yourself to stare in someone's eyes? It's not easy. It's not natural either.
Well, none of the things that I talk about on the blog are always easy, but if you want to succeed in networking, you have to connect with people, and one of the ways you do that is by making eye contact. If you don't do that, someone's going to stop listening to you, and they're not going to want to talk to you after you're done.
Okay, anybody got a question for Tim? No? Look,
I
I'm opening it up. I'm not getting any questions.
Why don't you do this full time?
Okay. Okay, forget that. That's not a good question. Okay, Tim, here we go. Tim, Guide to Networking. You wrote, go to a networking event, have a great 5 to 10 minute discussion. Get off the breather's driving me nuts, okay? It's deliberate, I know now. Have a great 5 to 10 minute discussion at event, then politely disengage so they can move on. I love it when they say politely disengage, but they don't walk you through it. So I want you to imagine we're going to a general business networking event in your city. Not everybody's got the same job, so they can't right away say, how's things in audit, right? So how do you initiate and how do you disengage? You walk us through it step by step.
Well, I think you initiate by walking up confidently, making eye contact, smiling, and saying, hi, my name's Tim. How are you doing today? I mean, really just being genuine and honest. And then you start the conversation by asking questions, because I think that is the best way to be relevant, is to find out a little bit about the person that you're about to network with. So make sure you ask really good questions. Make sure you get across to that person your specific and tangible job search objectives during that conversation. But more importantly, you need to make a connection through more than just the fact that you're both out of work, if that's in fact the case. In terms of – go ahead.
No, you go. But I'll tell you one thing. If you haven't got it yet, Tim, this show is like a courtroom. If you give evidence, you have to give examples. You can't just give generality. Say, this is an example. This is what I did recently. Tell us a little story, okay?
Resume writer has a question. I don't know her name, but
let her hold on. I want to hear the answer to this. I want to hear the answer to
this.
This
is my job. It's the only one I have right now.
Let me give
Won't
you
let me do it?
Do.
Let him answer, please.
Let me give you an example of what you don't do. I had somebody 1 week ago at a networking event walk up to me, hand me my card, and say, can I have yours?
Mm.
She handed me her card and said, can
yeah.
I have yours? And that's just
I want to know what
wrong.
You do. I want don't you can't slip away. I want to know
did
what
you
say? Do
what did you say
Tell me what happened. Tell me what happened.
Are you talking about what happened with that particular example?
No, but I know. Okay, let's shift. You say later on that it's your job to tell
what?
People who are obnoxious and don't know how to network to put them in their place. You said
yes.
Don't pull punches with these guys. Teach them what they're supposed to do. Am I right?
That's absolutely right. And what you do is you grab somebody.
Go ahead.
You grab somebody in a gentle way. You bring them aside and you say, hey, you know what? That didn't work for me. Let me tell you why. You gave me your business card, and you asked for mine. That's not how networking works. And let's talk about the proper way to do it. The way to do it is to come up, ask me some questions, tell me what you're looking for, and at the end of it, yeah, we might exchange business cards. We might have coffee. We might connect on LinkedIn. But those are things you do at the end of the conversation, not at the beginning.
Okay, so walk us through a proper – tell us a story that you did recently – at a networking event, or that you saw someone else do that you thought was how it's supposed to go.
I'm thinking.
Well, see, I thought it would come right off your tongue. I mean,
you know,
I don't understand what's
like
going
the word
on
popular,
here.
Animal, it's like the word popular. You don't always have an answer for every question. So.
Okay.
What was the last networking event you went to?
No, let him think for a minute. I'm going to say something. I'll set up the next questions while he's thinking. He's got this whole shtick, everybody, about selfless action. He says, go there to the networking event with the sole purpose of helping others, right? And then he tells you why you should do it. It feels good. That's not selfless. They're going to do things for you if you do things for them. That's not selfless. It's going to be a nice break from your own needs, in quotation marks. And I wondered, what does that mean? Aren't my needs valid? Or is it that I have exaggerated fears and this will help me, you know, take my mind off them? That's not selfless, you know. Nothing there is selfless. But, you know, I'm going to go on a bit more because I'm going to talk about his ideas till he comes up. He's got a chance to remember a good networking experience that he did. The other thing that I like, he says, adopt a loser. That's not his term. But, you know, find someone who's clearly smart but uncomfortable, standing alone, you know, needs a friend. You know, and I wondered, why does it have to be someone who's clearly smart? What about someone who's dumb, right? Don't they need friends too? And you're telling people to be selfless. Go look for the ones who really are losers, right? Oh, Tim, are you ready now?
I'm still listening to all of your words, yes. But it's obviously not losers. It's people who are new to networking, people who are uncomfortable doing it, and there are a lot of people who are scared to death to go to a networking event. They don't know anybody there. They don't know what they're supposed to do. And so if no one at that event walks up to them and says, hi, welcome, it's great to have you here. And the example I will give you is I go to a group in Laguna Niguel every third Friday of every month. It's called Laguna Niguel Connectors, and they have people assigned, and this is my example. They have people assigned to walk up to people as they show up to the event and ask them, are you here for the first time? And that's a great way to talk to somebody and introduce them to the group, because if they say no, then you can talk about how many times they've been there. You can talk about their experience in networking. If they say yes, you've got an open door to say, well, let me tell you how this group works. Let me tell you what's going to happen next, and let me introduce you to a few key people. That is a great way to introduce somebody to a networking event.
And then you can get
a
job at the Gap, right? Get a job at the Gap.
Maybe.
Standing in the door there, smiling. You know what? Now you're ready to tell us, walk us through step by step a good networking experience. You know how you don't have to look needy and no. That's when you're an experienced person. Let's say you're a novice. You're coming in. What do? So they don't have to help you. So you can manage it on your own.
Well, I think you walk up to people and you genuinely say, "Hi, my name's Tim. This is my first time at this event, and I was hoping you would please introduce me to a few people. I'm looking for a job in the pharmaceutical industry as a sales manager. My target industry is this. My target geography is that. And here are some of the target companies that I'm looking to find jobs with. Do you know of any people who are here today or in your network that I could network with at one of those target companies?" That is
doesn't sound, you know. So let me ask you something.
You're putting me on the spot.
So if you go to a business. I'm sorry, go ahead. You know, if but listen, when you're on TV, you're talking to a little box. You can't even see a person. Here, at least I'm answering you when you're talking. It's not that hard. Now, Tim, the thing is, that sounded like a presentation. First of all, when you go to a business networking event, it's not necessarily a job hunting event, is it? Some people are there
to
generate business. So you're coming up to these guys. You're coming up to them and saying, and you're going into this spiel. Is that what you advise? Does it sound a little too...
No, I think you need to be certainly. You need to be a little more natural and genuine than that. You need to establish a relationship with them. You need to tell them a little bit something about what you do that's not related to job search, whether it's the fact that you're a water skier or you have young beautiful kids or you have a certain passion for woodworking. Whatever it might be, you need to find a way to connect with people on a more personal level.
I just don't get that. Like, hi Tim, my name's the Recruiting Animal. I love woodworking. What do you think of that? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
No, obviously not.
What about, my name's Tim.
Yeah.
What about this? I'd like to know what the last event he went to was, and to walk us through it.
Go ahead.
The last event I went to is Laguna Niguel Connectors, and that is a networking group in Laguna Niguel, California. It's about 140 people that show up at that event. It's a structured networking event where you move into groups of 10 as you arrive, and then after that structured networking, you go into open networking. And my job there is to look for people that I think I can help.
You know what?
And
that's great
people,
because it's structured, but going into an unstructured situation is very difficult,
yep.
Just like you
it
said.
It is difficult. It is difficult. And you have to have the right mindset to be able to do it. If you go in scared, nervous, worried, you're going to have a tough time. You have to find somebody there instantly that you can connect with. And the only way you can do that is to walk up and ask genuine questions. Hi, my name is Tim. I'm here for the first time. Would you mind telling me a little bit about how this group works? That's a genuine question.
Okay, now I got a question. How do you find one of those groups though that are structured to start off?
Well, in terms of groups, you can ask your network what they know. You can go to meetup.com and you can find groups in your area, and usually they'll describe the type of an event that it is, whether it's structured or unstructured. You can go on LinkedIn,
uh-huh.
And LinkedIn has a lot of local groups that are based on LinkedIn groups. But I think the best thing is to talk to other job seekers, other people, or other people who are out there networking to find out what are the best events. What are the events where you really feel like you get something good done? Because really, there are events in bars. There are events in hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah.
There are events, you know, at Starbucks, frankly, real informal get-togethers. And they're all very different, and you need to approach them differently.
Chambers of Commerce also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chambers. Okay, and Tim, when you engage, then you disengage. You know, it might seem rude when you're talking to someone just to blow them off. How do you do it?
The way you do it specifically, you say, well, great, I feel like I really have a good sense of who you are. Thanks for giving me your job search objectives, and I'm excited to have a coffee with you next week. Let's move on and see if we can find some more people here that we can connect with.
I don't like the last
part. That's nice.
Well, do you take them by the hand and introduce them to somebody else?
You can definitely do that, yeah. If you think that person needs that, absolutely.
Oh, not up there.
Let's go find some more people. That would offend me, but everything else up until that was good.
Okay.
Let's go find some more people.
What if I don't
want
to have a coffee?
Yeah,
because
I think somebody who's afraid would be thankful for that.
But what if I don't want to have a coffee?
Then you don't have to. But that's the way you cement a networking relationship into a friendship, is by multiple contacts, getting out one-on-one.
I don't want to be friends with everybody. I don't want
to
be friends
with
everybody.
What a shock.
You don't have to be friends with everybody, but if there are key people in your network and you're looking for work, I don't know when the last time was you looked for a job, so you might be a little less sensitive to this, but you want friends when you're out of work. You want people who are going to look out for you and think about you during this time in your life.
Resume writer is asking a good question. She wants to know if there's a difference between younger or older networkers. Do you find younger or older workers have more or less trouble with networking? Is there any pattern?
Did you set up a phone with Magic Jack?
Tim, who's that?
You said
who's giving, who,
me
somebody
that
comes
one.
On? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that older networkers tend to be more tentative and more timid at networking events, and that's just solely in my experience.
Interesting.
Younger people, I think, are more used to networking.
Well,
they're more used to hanging out, and I think as we move on in our lives, we spend less time naturally networking, especially when we're working. And so to go into a networking situation because of a layoff or something else, a lot of people, it takes time to kind of adjust to that. And we're not used to people asking us these deep questions like, what do you want to do with your life? You know, what are your career objectives? A lot of people just don't know how to answer that, and so they get timid, they get a little bit shy. Even though they may be big, successful people when they were at work, when they try to network, they're uncomfortable.
You have this generational thing. We were networking long before you were breathing.
No, but I don't think it's generational. I think when he's got a point, when you're older, you've already established, you know, lots of times, you don't have to mix with new people. It's like, you know, if you're married, your wife's not going to like it if you're going out looking for other people to talk to on your own. So it's a little different. But what I'm interested in, he's actually got a calculation. He says it takes 3 personal meetings to turn a first meeting into something that looks like friendship. Is that right, 3 meetings?
That's what I have experienced. Yeah, that's what I've experienced, because it's not only time together, but it's completing what I call transactions, doing things for each other, because that builds trust and that builds the opportunity to talk more about what you guys have in common and to find out more about how you can help each other. So 3 meetings
for
me.
Well, you don't mean face-to-face, though. I mean, if you met somebody like them, had a relationship with them via email, phone, and then established a business relationship with them over the years, I would consider that a friendship, even though you don't see each other every day or meet for coffee or meet for drinks or whatever.
He's talking about meeting new friends, Rayan. What are you talking about? This guy's a friendship expert. You get it?
What networking is about. I'm talking about taking it from shaking somebody's hand to a business relationship. That's what he's talking about, too. Well,
I agree with him.
Go ahead,
Tim.
Thank you. It's on this way now. Bye-bye.
There's a message on
it. Tim.
Yes.
There's
a message on
the phone. Tim. Are you there?
I'm here.
Tim.
What?
Here's your chance to be bold. There's 10 minutes left. When these women start talking, talk right over them. Don't let them sidetrack this conversation.
Don't be polite.
Now's not
there's
the time.
There's a difference between a business relationship and a friendship, and yes, I'm talking about a friendship. When you are in job search, you need as many friends as you can get. Friends do more for you than a business relationship will do for you. And if you want to really connect with people, you need to have 3 in-person meetings with people. And you can't do this for everyone. So you're going to have some people that are just connections. You're going to have people that are business relationships, and you tap those the way you can. And then you're going to have people that are going to become your friends. And these are long-term friends who you met during your job search experience. And these are some of the people who are going to be accountability partners for you. They're going to know what your objectives are. They're going to know what your goals are each week. And they're going to say, hey, you blew it. You didn't do what you said you were going to do. And you need people like that when you're in job search.
Yeah. Now, you also say that you are a pet peeve of yours is people who don't speak up, the low talkers. You don't like them, do you?
It's not that I don't like them, but I don't think they're very effective. I stop listening, or I stop trying to listen to people who talk really quietly, especially if you're in a big room, you're in a group of 10 people, and it's in a big circle. The people who talk quietly don't get paid attention to, unfortunately. And so I always talk to people, speak up, speak bold, be strong with your words, because people will pay more attention.
And old people can't hear.
Yeah, and one of the things you stress all the time is, what can I do for other people so they're going to value me, and then they're going to do something for me? That's the name of the game in networking, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, okay. Come and talk. Go ahead. That's your cue. Talk loud, boldly.
Here's a great example, Animal. One of the things that I created out of necessity, because I was getting calls from recruiters asking me for referrals, which I love to do. I was getting requests from job seekers. Can you keep your ears open for me if you hear of anything? Well, the problem for me is I've got a stack of business cards taller than the Eiffel Tower. And so for me, the ability to connect jobs that I hear of with people that I know in my network was getting more and more difficult as I got to know more people. So I created something called the watch list. And the watch list originally was a one-page piece of paper that allowed me to combine all of the job search objectives of the people in my network. And now when I get those calls, those requests, I put people on my watch list. And in fact, people can add themselves to my watch list on the website, and I can keep my ears open for them in a very specific way. So that's an example of how you can help people in a very specific way in your network.
Hello? Okay, you know, I'm going to start cutting people off. But listen, I got to tell you something, Tim. Would a radio show online, would a recruiting radio show be a recruiting radio show if Bill Borman didn't call in? Now, the thing is, the thing is with Bill Borman, he's been here for a long time, but he hasn't said anything.
I've been waiting politely to be asked by the host, Animal.
Okay, that's not how it works on this show, Bill. You got to say you're here.
Yeah,
I got 20 people to manage. I don't know. I can't run through everybody. Go ahead. Ask them your question.
The question I want to ask, Tim, is everything you've talked about has really been about job seekers, networking events, pink slip parties, things like that. What different strategy would you use if you were going to a normal networking event, which is more likely to be where job seekers are going?
Well, I don't know that that's true, at least in the network that I'm in. But I don't think that the
hold on one second,
different.
Just 1 second, Bill. Hold on 1 second, Bill. What's your what code are you? I'm going to start muting lines. This idiot's
I'm
doing
double,
business
I'm double
on the
four.
Phone
I'm
here.
The UK number, so I'm dialing in from UK. So I'll be 44.
Okay.
Okay.
If you can't be, if
that,
I go
ahead.
Mute, I'll
go
yeah,
ahead.
I'm still with you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So,
go ahead,
so
you guys talk.
I don't think the advice is that different. I mean, if I'm going to a regular networking event, and maybe I'm a small business owner or I'm a recruiter,
I can't see though. To be honest, the advice you've given earlier, if you went into a normal networking event, which wasn't job seeker related, and straight away went up to people and started talking to them about job objectives.
Appointment or telephone what, screening.
Yeah, that's not what I said. What I said was that you do that at the end. What I said is you establish a friendship, you establish similar goals and objectives, things that you do in life, and you build a personal connection first before you move into that, because you don't want your first thing to be, hi, my name's Tim, I'm looking for work, because everybody wants to run and hide from that. You want to establish a relationship with somebody in a way that makes them get to know you a little bit, and then obviously they're going to ask, tell me about yourself, what are you doing right now? And then you have your opening.
So you don't
Bill, attack him. You got 3 minutes. Bill Borman, you got 3 minutes. Go after this guy. Now's your chance. He disappeared. Also, by the way, that person making all the noise was in 513, okay?
Not me.
No.
It was a recruiter from
Bill, are you back?
Yeah, I've done,
Bill,
I've
you back?
Dialed back with you. I've just dialed back with you. I wasn't the woman talking in the back.
Okay.
No,
okay.
All I was saying was you know, the kind of approaches we were talking about earlier, I don't know that would work with me at a normal networking event, which wasn't aimed at job seekers. But tell
you
me I'm wrong.
You may have missed my answer, Bill, but that's what I said earlier, is that you don't lead with, I'm out of work. That's the last thing you want to do. You want to lead with trying to find a way to make a connection with somebody, and eventually the opening will come naturally, where they'll say, well, tell me about what you do. And then you have the opportunity to talk about the industry that you're in, and by the way, I'm out of work. And here's some.
Sorry, I thought you said earlier that your opening was to say that these are my job objectives, these are the kinds of people I want to work for and who I want to meet. Who do you know who's here that I could meet up with?
Well,
I thought that was your...
It's not the opening, but it's a critical part of the conversation, because if you don't tell people what you're looking for, they can't help you.
What's the opening? What's a real good first three words, first sentence?
Good morning. You know, I mean, I think that you want people to see
no,
you as
first
somebody
sentence.
Who's...
What's your first sentence?
What's my first sentence?
What about, hi, my name is Tim?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the obvious, but I thought the expectation was for more than that. But
how are you finding your job search? If you're at a networking event with job seekers, there's a good way to start.
No,
yeah,
Bill just said you're not going to talk about job hunting right off the bat, right?
I don't know.
I like Bill's question, because I thought
unless you're at a pink slip, unless you're at a pink slip or a job seekers networking event, your networking approach and your opening's got to be different if you're at a general event. You know, I agree, if you're with other job seekers, talk about job seeking. But if I'm at a chamber or a business or one of the LinkedIn events we were talking about, you know, you're going to have to work your way in. You're going to have to work your way into that in terms of what you're there for. And I find, you know, people who come in and have these elevator pitches that are pitching me off the bat,
like
not
robots.
Interested. Yeah, not interested.
That can be a turnoff. I agree. That can be a turnoff.
Yeah. What I always suggest to people, Tim, is to find one person who you know is going to be there, whether that's online or whatever, and arrange your first meeting.
Yeah, or be able to walk in.
And that warms you up from there.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Okay, that's a trick, though. I want to meet the person who can go to any group individually by themselves and make it work. That's what we're going to talk about in another session. Thank you very much, Timmy! Glad the voice is back. That's the wrong music. Here we go!